You want to leave it on pause for me so I can tell her some stuff?
Sure.
I don't want... Okay, and we're on. This is Karen Downer, and today's date is November 5th, 2011. And it is 11:05, and I'm conducting an interview with Linda Knoll for Save Our Stories. It's a project of the Alliance for American Quilts. Linda and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas, and I want you to tell me about this quilt that you brought today.
This quilt is, I'm calling it Cross Stitch to Recovery, and when I had back surgery, I understood from several members of my family who also have scoliosis and had gone through surgery that it takes about a year to recover from the surgery. So my idea was to do a cross stitch, a block for each month of the year. And the cross stitches, it was originally designed for a paper calendar where you cross stitch a picture for each month of the year and then you turn the paper calendar over to the next month. And I thought that if I did that, I would be throwing away a lot of good cross stitch, because each of these blocks takes about I'd say about 100 hours to do. It's, you know, really fine, and it's counted cross stitch. And then what I did was I changed up the colors a little bit on some of them because I didn't like the way the patterns read. And then I decided to set it into a quilt so that I could have it forever. And this was the year 2006. So I originally, the first block, I had to lay down to do my stitching. And I was laying, you know, on my side, and it was really hard to get comfortable. But I started working on it probably the week after my surgery. And I also embellished it with buttons, and there's beads and some, like you'll see, there's a bee on the beehive for September, and there's a little rose on February, which have a heart. So I changed up the colors a little bit, but the biggest thing was I decided that I didn't want to just do some cross stitches and put them in a drawer. I wanted to set it into a quilt, and so I set it into blocks, and then I thought about how I was going to frame it, and I came up, I believe this is called a dog tooth pattern. And so I put squares, you know, kind of put them in there. And then for the framing around each block, and it took me a while to figure it out, but I figured out when I had done the whole thing that what I was choosing was frames with very small either dots or circles. There's one with stars, but it's very small, you know, print around each block. So, and then the very last thing was when I did the binding, I had this idea to do different colors of the binding. So I'm a color person, so I love lots of color.
So this quilt took you over a year?
It probably took me more like 9 months, because when I started feeling better, I started spending more time working on it, and but I had to take a lot of breaks. But like I said, when I first started, I was actually laying down trying to stitch.
What special meaning does it have for you? Did it help you heal?
Yes, it helped me heal. You know, when you cross stitch, it can be sort of meditative, because it's a repetitive thing. And when you do this repetitive thing, you think a lot about your past and your present and your future. And one thing about scoliosis is it tends to run in families. I've inherited, I think, a scoliosis. Well, they think it might be last I read, it might be related to growth hormone. But it tends to run in families, and it definitely runs in mine. My mother has scoliosis. My aunt, I have two aunts. I have three cousins. And it's all on my mother's side, and we all have crooked backs. So most of us have had surgery. And I also have, my son has very, very mild, and my sister has scoliosis as well. So it was kind of like, you know, by doing this, I'm thinking of my family and where I'm from and who I am and my life, you know, and how I have this scoliosis and how I'm one more person in the family who's going through this, you know. So
why did you choose this particular quilt to bring to the interview as opposed to some of your other quilts?
I have several quilts, and I kind of ran it by my husband as well. He kind of helps me with some of my decision making. And this quilt, I felt like I put a lot of time and thinking into it. Thinking as far as not just doing the stitching, but just thinking about, you know, my family and who I am and the process and everything. So, and then it kind of shows off like a design. You know, I came up with my own design for the border, my own design for the binding. Just putting it into.
Okay, Linda, if someone's viewing this quilt, maybe say 50 years in the future, what do you think they might conclude about you?
I think they might think that I'm a detail person. I think you came to a conclusion already. I can't remember what you said, but I feel like I'm pretty organized. Someone who does cross stitch has to have a lot of focus, and they have to want to sit there and do stitch by stitch.
And how do you use this quilt at this point? Do you exhibit it?
I do. Well, it's over the top of my fireplace in my home, and I have put it in a couple quilt shows. I received first place in a quilt show in Chisholm Trail Quilt Show, and third place in the Austin area quilt show. And I can probably tell you what years. 2006, I was 2006, I was honorable mention at the Austin Area Quilt Guild Show. In 2007, I was first place in the Chisholm Trail Quilt Guild Show.
And what are your plans for this quilt? What's its future life?
I will probably keep it. I don't think I would sell it. Just keep it and hope that maybe I can pass it down to my children. But they're not too interested in my quilting.
That might change.
At this point, and I'm hoping that, you know, they'll come around someday.
I'm going to move on to a portion of our questions that try to get at your involvement in quilt making in general. So will you tell me about your interest in quilt making in general?
One of my favorite things to do is put together color. And I think just talking with some of my friends, they kind of recognize that in me, that I like to use color. My favorite fabrics are batiks. I like the way that I can blend them. One of the quilt that I have that's in the book and in the show has a lot of color. And when I came around the corner and saw the quilt, it was like the color just popped out at you. And so I was really pleased because of the lighting here. How it showed. So,
and when did you start sewing?
My first quilt was I said how hard could it be to make a quilt? So I cut a cardboard square, and I just laid it on top of fabrics that my mother had in her her linen closet. She had a whole bunch of fabrics, and when I was a young teenager, we lived in Panama, and the clothes that we got there were on the base, and we really didn't go shopping off the base, so there was a really limited supply of fabrics. And so if we wanted, like when we wanted to do have a dress for a dance at the school, we would make our own dresses, and we learned how to make our own clothing. And we had all this leftover fabric that was in the linen closet, and I said I was going to make a quilt. So I took a cardboard square and I traced it onto the fabric and all different fabrics. So I made actually a quilt top, and it was really sloppily made because, you know, my tracing wasn't real good. And I made a quilt top, and I said, Mom, some, you know, and I machine put it together, and I said, Mom, someday we'll make this into a quilt. And I threw it into my into her linen closet back in there. And she said, what she did was, a couple years later, she took that out. She took it to a church auxiliary, and they made it into a quilt for me, and she gave it to me as a gift. And when I look at that quilt to this day, number one, I see my sloppy sewing. you know, because the squares aren't matched up at all. That's the first thing I see. And it's like a polyester kind of backing. But the other thing I see is, I see, you know, this fabric from a shirt that my sister made. This is a fabric from a dress that I made in home economics. This is a dress that I made for a dance in middle school. And so when you look at all the fabrics, you see it's just a flood of memories of all the different, what all that means. And then I did quilt again for another probably 20 years. And it was when my daughter was born. And a few years after that, she had started school. And I said, well, you know, I've always wanted to go back to making quilts, so I think this is my chance to start doing some things. And she was in school, and I had some time. What was it?
So your first top all those years ago, it was quilted for you. Do you now do your own quilting?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I'm kind of struggling with that right now. I don't have a long arm. I have a machine with a small throat on it. And the quilt in the show is kind of special because it was done in memory of my father, and I have a real nice label on the back with a picture of my father and I, and he passed away when I was working on the quilt, so I made it as a tribute quilt to him. Can we pause? Okay. So the quilt that I did for my dad was in memory of my dad, is really big. And usually when I have a quilt that big, I give it to a quilt maker to put it together. But one thing my dad always said was, you can do anything. And there is no can't. And so I said, if this is a memory quilt for my dad, I'm going to do it all myself. And it was a struggle because it's like a king-size quilt, and I'm putting it under this big of a throat on a home machine. But I was able to do it, and it's all mine. It's, you know, top quilting is mine, and it's, you know, it's all my colors. It's all mine. If it's a bigger quilt, I try and I will give it to somebody to long arm for me. But I'm struggling with that because I feel like if I give it to somebody to work on that part of it, then it's not all mine. This one I brought today, I did this one on my own, so.
How many hours a week do you piece or quilt or?
Lately I haven't been able to do as much as I'd like to do because I'm in school. I'm finishing up a nurse practitioner certificate program. I've been in school for 2 years now, and I should finish next month.
Are there quilt makers among your family and friends?
My family isn't, they're not quilt makers, but my grandmother and my mother, they did a lot of crochet, and they would make these beautiful doilies, and they would make, you know, big crochet like roses within their doilies, really pretty, and use different colors. And so when I was growing up, I would spend hours as a young girl just crocheting doilies. And then I got into crocheting afghans. And so I feel like that's kind of where my handwork comes from, and my sort of like my inherited gift. from my family is the handwork, and that's kind of shows. And
that led you here.
And it kind of led me to cross stitch.
Do you have any amusing experiences that have occurred to you as part of your quilt making that you could share with us?
There is one I think is kind of funny. When I found out I was going to be in the Lone Stars 3 book, I got to where I was checking the mail a lot, you know, and checking the email a lot, trying to see, you know, when for different things, you know, like when I'd get my quilt back and whether I'd been accepted into the book. And then when I found out I got accepted, then I wanted to know more information. And then so it was like I was constantly checking the mail. And my husband says, "So, why are you so excited about this? You're only going to get a postage-sized corner of the page in the book." And as it turned out, I got the whole page, and I got the page next to it. So that was pretty funny to me.
What aspects of quilt making do you not enjoy?
I'm a little frustrated right now with the I can do the top, but to actually do the quilting for, you know, with a quilting sandwich, that's sort of a source of frustration for me right now, because I'm trying to figure out the best way to do that and how to get the precision down and to get the tiny stitches that people I see here. The good quilt makers here that are here in this jury show, they're the ones that have the really fine quilting, and I'd like to figure out the best way to get there.
Do you belong to groups or guilds or?
I'm in the Austin Area Quilt Guild. I was a lot more active, I'd say a few years ago, before I got into working full time. I'm a hospice nurse, and right now I'm working as needed, but then I got involved in full-time school, so.
Can you talk a little bit about how all this wonderful technology that's coming to us, machines and, good grief, every notion you can think of, how is technology influencing your work?
You know, I think every year when you look at quilts, you know, you come to different shows, you see different techniques, and I think it's really neat, all the new things and the new techniques you can try. So I've got some things in the back of my mind that I'd like to try sometime, one thing is I do have some cross stitches at home where I took and scanned a picture of my daughter and my son and my dog into a computer program, and it prints out a chart, a pattern that you can, with the different colors, and then you go purchase those colors, and then you cross-stitch it. And so up close, it looks like a bunch of stitches, but if you step back, you see what looks like a portrait. And so I have those hanging on the wall, and when people come to my house, they're like, "Oh, that's a stitch, that's stitchery," and they're really, and they think it's a portrait or just a picture on the wall, but and they get up close.
Wow.
And so personally, that's one thing that I've tried, and I've really, really enjoyed it.
And that's a good example of technology. Mm-hmm. Do you have some favorite techniques currently?
My favorite pattern is the Bloomin' Nine patch. I've tried working with the snippet sensation, where you cut pieces and they drop, and it you just drop it in, you form a picture. I've tried working with that. I like cross-stitching, as you can see. I love working with color.
It's beautiful. It's balanced. It does draw your eye.
Yeah.
Describe where you work. Where you quilt, where you sew, your studio.
Let's see. I got a little bit into art a long time ago, probably in the 80s. And I drew a picture of my dad, a pencil drawing. and it's pretty, you know, it's a good size pencil drawing, and it was sort of like the start of my art classes in my adult life. I didn't take too many art classes. My mom went on to be an oil painter, but you know, when I first saw the works that could be done in that class, I was just like, wow, I could do that, you know. So it kind of is an inspiration to me, like, wow, I did that, you know, that picture, because it's real detailed. It's really nice. It's just little pencil strokes, and it comes out to be a beautiful big portrait. Mm-hmm. I have a couple oil paintings of my mom in the room. I have a couple quilts hanging on the wall that I've done.
So you have a room dedicated to sewing?
Yes.
Okay.
And lots of fabric. I try and keep it neat, but it always ends up all over the place.
You are an excellent person for this next question, because you mentioned that you work, you're a hospice nurse, and you're currently in school to be a nurse practitioner. How in the world do you balance your time?
Right now I'm not doing as much quilting as I would like to do. I kind of struggle with what I really want to do and what I need to do. That's kind of a challenge for, I think, for women. You know, they want to make money. And some people even said, well, you want to make money so you can quilt. I'm like, well, yeah, that too. But we all, you know, with the economy, and it's a struggle to try and figure out how to make a living and how to be able to do the things you want to do.
Do you use a design wall?
I do have a design wall, but I probably use the floor more than anything.
Okay, we're going to move to a section that talks about aesthetics and craftsmanship and design aspects and your opinion in some of those areas. What do you think makes a great quilt?
One thing is creativity. If you can do more than just work in a pattern, if you can, and another thing is I tend to use quilt making for self-expression, like how I feel or what I think about things. Recently I made a quilt, it's called Inner Peace, and I put peace signs in the middle of it. And you know, it's hard to, you know, a lot of people have the tendency to want to be happy through someone else or some other thing or some other challenge or some other award, but really happiness needs to come within, and so does inner peace. So,
and you're an excellent person to ask this question, because you are both an artist and a quilter. What do you think makes a quilt artistically powerful?
I think it's a self-expression, using your creativity to express how you feel.
What makes a great quilt maker?
Someone who uses their imagination, their creativity, but yet they can work with the techniques and come up with a well-designed quilt that has good stitchery.
Is there an artist or a quilter that whose works you are particularly drawn to?
I like Carol Breyer Fowler. I like her work. She uses a lot of bright colors. And I kind of admire her because she was an airline stewardess for a really long time, and I think she retired, and then she went to doing more of the work that she likes to do, and that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, you know, I'm looking forward to being able to do more of my artwork, but I'm sort of challenged with the economy and doing
anyone
what
else?
I have to do.
Is there anyone else?
There's a couple. Kathy York. She doesn't know it, but I really admire her work. Actually, I saw her one time at a quilt show, and I was working admissions at the door as a volunteer. And I said, hey, I really like your work. And she says, you know me? I said, yeah, I love your work. That one over there with the birds going up the ladder, I just love that.
And that made her day, I'm sure.
And that made her day, so.
Have they've influenced your work? To some extent.
Yes, I really enjoy color. I enjoy putting color together, and the artists that I admire, they use color, and they also have creative ways of putting together designs, and sometimes they add a bit of humor, and I like that too, because just do.
Okay, we're going to transition now to the fourth area, and that's the function and meaning of quilts. This is where we talk a little bit about the historic aspects and quilts in American life, and especially in the life of women. Why is quilt making important to you?
For me, I like it as a meaning of self-expression. So this quilt that I brought here today is, is had a lot of meaning to me. It initially started out as recovery. You know, I'm recovering every month, like what I can do. And I because I had such a major back surgery, things could have come out very differently than they did. I'm really fortunate that I don't have daily pain, that I had a good outcome. And I had so many friends and family that were really good to me and really helped me out a lot. And every day I was in a quilt group at the time, and every day my quilt friends would bring over a meal. And so for like 3 weeks, I had a different quilter friend bringing over a meal for me every evening.
Those are friends.
Yeah. And so so it wasn't just that I was recovering every month. It was how grateful I was to be alive, to have had a good outcome, and to have so many good friends. And I just really appreciate people, and you should appreciate everyone that you meet every day, because... And I think I have a appreciation for that, partly being a hospice nurse.
You are a Texan?
I was actually born in Wichita Falls, but my dad was in the Air Force, so we moved when I was about 5, and I moved back here about 11 years ago.
So do your quilts reflect life in this region of Texas, or do they reflect the larger world, or what do you think about the...
I think it kind of reflects what's going on with me as a person more. I haven't really got into making Texas quilts necessarily, but it's more about my inner thoughts and my inner person.
What do you think about quilts and their special meaning for women's history?
I know at one time that women were judged by their ability to do handwork. Different fabrics are different years of history. So when you look at a quilt, you can kind of tell like what decade that was made in. What's the personal meaning of the quilt maker who made it? Were they struggling with rattlesnakes on the farm? Did they do rattlesnakes patterns? And, I know there's a lot of history and what's going on with them at the time. And I'm sure that's reflected in their quilts, whether they were being attacked by Indians or whether they were Republican or Democrat or, I think it's, a lot of it's self-expression.
How do you think that quilts and quilt making can be preserved for the future?
There's excellent preservation society. There's this Alliance for Quilt Making and doing things like interviews with quilt makers and understanding not only... When you look at a quilt, you can look at a quilt, but what does it really mean? And I think you can get some very powerful understanding, from what a quilt means to a person. The quilt that I have here in the show for the Lone Stars 3, it has a little label on the side that, kind of talks about the quilt and saying this is a pretty easy pattern, but it was masterfully designed with color. I think that if you were to turn over my quilt and look at the actual label, it has a picture of my dad and I together. And the label says, this quilt was designed with batik fabrics. And it reminds me of the days when my dad taught me how to fish and how the sun shines on the middle of the water and how it disperses out. And how that has meaning to me is that I'm a reflection of my dad's quiet, patient, and loving ways. And it's sort of, you know, we are reflections of our parents and our family and who we are. And when someone dies, you, especially someone very close to you, then you start thinking of, you know, what is the meaning of life? And so.
Do you have any idea how many quilts you've made?
I think I've probably made around 100, but I've given away, you know.
That was the next question. Where are they? What happened to them?
Different places. I know some people, some of my earlier quilts weren't my best quilts, and I did give those away. I know my son, when he was in kindergarten, first, second, third, and fourth grade, I gave a quilt to the teacher. And I tried to get the students in the class involved and make different squares. And like kindergarten, they all drew a picture of something related to Texas, whether it was the Alamo or a blue bonnet or a yellow rose or a, you know, different things. And then I set that into a quilt. And one year it was a teddy bear class, and they all drew a different teddy bear. And so every year for like 4 years, I tried to get the class involved in quilt making. And then my brother went off to, I believe it was Iraq, and he was gone for about a year. And when he came back, I had made him a quilt with the middle of it was a picture of him when he first went into the Navy. And all around it was stars, and he could, and I had all the family members sign it. And they signed things like, thank you for, thank you for your service. Thank you for all the work that your family and you have done to protect our country and to protect us. And it was really heartwarming. And he has that hanging on the wall in his home, and he's really proud of it. I found one of my quilts one time in someone's drawer. My mother said she hung hers up in the... I saw hers hanging up in her living room. That was a snippet sensation, and it was like a vase with flowers. I'm sure they're all different places, and I have a lot of quilts in my living room, you know, just kind of draped over things and hanging over a ladder and over the fireplace, this one. And my family tends to laugh at me because I got them everywhere. I even have one on the bed.
A couple of times in our discussion, our interview, you've mentioned the economy. I'm going to ask you a question now about what do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
We still have to have the money to be able to work with our quilts, and we still have to have the money to raise our families and take care of our children and plan for our retirement. I haven't quite figured out a great way to make money quilting yet. So in the meantime, I'm working the nurse practitioner in hospice angle. And that's kind of where
lucky
I'm at.
For all of us, you are. It's a good thing.
Yeah. So
okay, Linda, I want to thank you for spending this time with us, and you obviously have stories to tell, and I'm sure that they're coming out in your quilts. I want to ask you one last question, and that is this. Did we not touch on something that you want to make of record? Is there anything that we didn't get from you today that you'd like to add?
One thing is, when you look at a quilt, it's one thing to look at the quilt and maybe draw your own personal meaning from what you think the artist thought of the quilt, but it's another thing to actually ask the artist what they were thinking, and you may get a whole another interpretation of what that is. And sometimes if it has a lot of personal meaning, that's really special. If you can get that information, then it'll change. It might change your heart and change the way you see life and change the way you see things.
I'd like to thank Linda for allowing me to interview her today for the Save Our Stories Oral History Project. And it's just been an honor to spend time with you. Our interview concluded at 11:45.
Thank you.
Thank you so